You can go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're beginning our new Believer's Bible study. This will be a series of lessons as we meet here in the church, kind of in an informal manner. The idea is just to give you the basics of Christianity, kind of build a foundation. And this thing is going to start out kind of small and just slowly build up, so hopefully through the entire period, if you're here, you'll get a real good foundation of basic Bible knowledge and principles, so then you will be equipped to disciple and help others. That's my desire, and that's the Bible way of doing things, is to train others, teach others, so they can teach and train others also. That's the idea of being fruitful, and that's what we desire to accomplish here. So as we begin this study, I believe the first issue that must be addressed is the issue of the Bible. Brother Doyle and I were joking before the study tonight, and he was talking about us maybe putting an ad in the paper, and then we figured maybe it isn't a joke, maybe we should really do it. It says, come to a church where there's no rock music, and there's what else did we... No contemporary lifestyle services, but just the Bible. And it's amazing that if you actually put that ad in the paper, people would say, oh, well, that's strange. Yeah, they would go to a church just for the Bible. Well, listen, that's what it's supposed to be all about. That's where it all starts. And so we need to have a foundation in the Bible itself, so that we can then, from the Bible, receive the things that God would have for us as His people. This is how God speaks to us. We speak to God through prayer. God speaks to us through His Word. And no other way. He's not going to give you visions and dreams, and that's Old Testament stuff. That's not for today. If you're having visions and dreams, quit doing the drugs, stop eating a lot of pizza at night or something, because it's not of God. Amen. God gave you everything you needed to know right here. If you don't know it, it's either because you haven't found it yet or because you don't want to. But it's right here for you, if you want it. All right. Now, the word Bible itself comes from the Greek word biblios. You've heard of bibliographies and all that. It just means book. Biblios simply means book. It's a holy Bible. See? It's not just the Bible. It's the holy Bible. And holy Bible simply means the holy book. The holy book. When you say the holy book, there's only one. And it's the Word of God. Amen? And the Bible, this holy book, is one book made up of 66 individual books. Some of them a page long. Some of them 150 chapters long. Okay? So different sized books, but one book, one author of all 66 books of the Bible. And it's written by 40 different authors of men on three different continents and three languages, but there is one author behind all of its writings. And if you'll stay through this study, through the 22 or so some lessons, I think you'll get a hold of that and understand that quite easily, that there's only one author to the Bible. So beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible is called holy scriptures. That is its testimony of itself. Look back in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And here in Matthew chapter 26, look with me in verse 56. Matthew 26 and verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The scriptures of the prophets, referencing the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Hosea, and all the rest, what they wrote according to the Lord Jesus Christ, what they wrote was Scripture. Look with me in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Was Moses a prophet? Sure was. He sure was. A prophet like unto Moses is what God had promised, right? So all through your Bible, you have prophets writing the scriptures and giving us what we have today, the Word of God. Look in 2 Timothy, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We already looked there in verse 15, so let's continue on in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished, not thoroughly, throughly furnished unto all good works. To throughly furnish something means it's completely furnished. It has everything that it needs. If you were to rent a home and they said that it was throughly furnished, that means you don't need to bring any furniture. Everything's there that you're going to need. You follow me? The idea here is if you'll stay in the Scriptures are able to throughly furnish you unto all good works. How? By giving you doctrine, by giving you reproof, by giving you correction, and by giving you instruction in righteousness. And so the Bible is the principal thing for the Christian. It is the only way that a Christian can become what God wants them to be. Without it, they will be ignorant of many things and never be able to fulfill God's perfect will for their lives. What about somebody that just never has an opportunity to get a Bible? Well, I'm sure God won't hold it against them. You know, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But who in America could say that? I mean, when you can pick one up for $6 or $7 at Walmart. A King James Bible. See? So there's no excuse for ignorance for the child of God. We need to know the Scriptures, apply them to our lives. It's given by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. What does inspiration mean? Well, does anybody know what respiration means? How many of you have respirated today? Raise your hands. Most of you did not raise your hands, I'm concerned, because you're dead. You breathe, that's spirating. You rebreathe, that's respirating. That's respiration, respiration. Respiration is simply spirating over and over again. Inspiration means breathe in. You got it. So all Scripture is given by God breathing into it and bringing life to it. You know where you came from? You came from Adam. You know where Adam got life? God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Amen? So it all comes from the breath of God, this Bible. If it's Scripture, do you have Scripture? That's the question. If you have Scripture, it's given by inspiration of God. Now, I have Scripture. We'll get into more of that on a study in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. All right, so pick it up now in Matthew chapter 17, and we'll look at the purpose of the Bible. Why did God give us the inspired Scriptures? What is the purpose of God's Word on the earth? What is it to accomplish? Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. You all got it? All right, hold your place there and find 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you're having trouble finding 2 Peter, it's right after 1 Peter. Just trying to help. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. Look with me in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Not Moses, not Elijah, him. That shows you there's something new coming, see? You had Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, and God says, no, now you need more than that. You need a revelation from my Son. Hear him. See? Now, that's a pretty amazing story. That really happened. Peter, James, and John went up unto the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ and saw Jesus Christ transfigured into his glory with Moses and Elijah. And then they heard God the Father speak from heaven. Now, look in 2 Peter chapter 1. I said all that to say this. The Bible is how God communicates to man today. Look in verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What is Peter referencing here? He's referencing what we just read in Matthew chapter 17. He's speaking of the time when he was up there with James and John and saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah transfigured in glory and heard God the Father speak from heaven. And so he's now recollecting, recalling this event and talking about it here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Wait a minute. Do you know what he just said? He said, we have something that is more sure than if you were to have a dream or a vision or hear God speak from heaven by an audible voice. We have something more sure than that. What is this more sure word? He says in verse 19, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, here's the sure word of prophecy, of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What were we just told there? We were just told that you have something more sure than if you heard an audible voice of God speaking. You have the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. Period. And we need to treat it as such. This is how God communicates to man today. Well, listen, that's fair, isn't it? God hasn't told you something He didn't tell me. He hasn't given you a requirement He hasn't given me. He hasn't been showed special favor. God's fair. He's given the same book to everybody. Now, what we do with it, that's on our part. But God has given His Word and made it available to whosoever wants to know it and read it. Now, God works through His words. That's how He works. He not only communicates to man through His words, He works through His words. Look in Genesis chapter 1. Like the preacher said, the Word of God will do the work of God if we let it. If we let it. All right, Genesis chapter 1. Look in verse 3. Genesis 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Wow, how'd that light come about? God said. That's all. And as you read through Genesis chapter 1, you'll find that everything that was made, everything that God created, was simply created by God speaking His words. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 1 for the context. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. According to that verse, all things are upheld by the word of His power. Do you know why this earth right now is rotating around the sun? Why the moon is moving around the earth? Why you're breathing? Why your brain is still working? Some of you. Why is all that happening? Because it's all being held together by the word of His power. Look in 1 Thessalonians. Back in 1 Thessalonians. Now, if you're a new Christian, it would be a good idea to get you some tabs for your Bible, or buy a Bible that's already pre-tabbed, so that you can find the books of the Bible a little quicker until you get used to it. And once you get used to it, it'll just be second nature to you. And that's what we desire. We don't desire you to know the Bible right after you get saved. But our desire is that you will come to know it and be familiar with it. As familiar as it as you are with knowing where all the channels are. Oh me, we better go on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mean, some of you right now, if I asked you where the sports channel was, you could tell me what number it was. No. That's why I can say this without conviction. All right. Remember, this is being recorded. It's not all for you. Y'all are taking things too personally. If you're not under conviction, then don't say anything. 2 Thessalonians, just figure it was for somebody else. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know what that says right there? If I'll take these scriptures and just put them out and teach them to you and preach them to you and just give you God's words, I have a promise from God that if you'll just believe them and receive them as coming from God and not man, that God will take those words in you and they'll begin to do a work in your life. Now, how about that? That's not bad for words. Maybe sometimes it's easy to underestimate the power of the working of God's words. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, all right, let's go on. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. It's going to be real easy to go off in about 50,000 different rabbit trails on this study, and I'm going to try and keep it organized so you can follow along. But I also want to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit when necessary. Now look in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. God works through His words. It is how God communicates to man. And the purpose of the Bible is for God to reveal Himself to man through His words. Is Jesus going to show up in His glory in your bedroom? No, He's not. He's sat down on the right hand of the Father, and He ain't getting up until it's time for us to go. Is God the Father going to physically manifest Himself before you? I hope not, because if He did, you'd burn up. He told Moses, if you look at me, you'll burn up, you'll die, you can't live. So we cannot see God. Jesus said, no man hath seen God at any time. Right? But who was Jesus? Veiled in flesh. So if we're going to be able to see God, we're not going to be able to physically see Him. Well, then we need to see Him by faith through God's words. Faith is the evidence of things... Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can have something and present it before the judge and it not be there and it still be evidence. Well, that's impossible. How can you... Oh, you haven't heard of the DNA that they're using in the courts now? Now ask that guy to show you that DNA. You realize how small that stuff is? He can't show you that DNA. You know what they're doing? They're taking that DNA and then they're putting it through a computer program and they're showing you a simulation. They're not showing you the DNA because you can't see it. It's too small to even see. But through this simulation, through this computer program and everything else, they bring it up so that they can show you if the DNAs match based on that whole program and everything. In other words, they're translating that into something that you can see and understand, and you believe something that you don't see as being actually so. You do that all the time, right? Don't you? How many of you have seen electricity? You've never seen electricity a day in your life. I see its effects. Amen. And by seeing the effects, I've seen electricity. Now, as we receive the Word of God, we begin to see God and have God reveal Himself to us. God desires to do that. If any man seeks after Him, God will reveal Himself to him. Look here in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 25. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is Jesus, after His resurrection, talking to the disciples as He reveals Himself to them. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. That must have been some Bible study. We've had a few good Bible studies here, but I don't think we've ever had that one that good. With Jesus saying, now look here, and showing them Himself out of the Scriptures. You know what God will do for you if you'll let Him? As you read your Bible, He'll say, now look here. And as you're reading, He'll say, that's me. That's how good I am. That's how forgiving I am. That's how loving I am. That's how holy I am. That's how true I am to my Word. And He does that and reveals Himself to you through the Word of God. Look in John chapter 6. And through God's words, He gives life. The Word of God gives life. Look in John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means to make alive. Now, you see, you can write that down in the margin of your Bible. Write that down. If you don't know what quicken means, write down make alive. And then after that, make a note, I didn't need a new Bible after all. Okay. See, there's nothing wrong with writing down the definition to a word that you do not understand. You don't need a new Bible. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It gives life. That's what it means. The Spirit of God gives life, doesn't it? Didn't we read that back there in Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay, there's the Word. There's God. They're all making everything, right? All right, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Before you were ever born again, you know what had to happen? The Spirit of God had to move. And then God spoke. And if you received it, life was the result. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. All right, you want life? Where does it come from? It comes from God's words. That's where the life comes from. It comes from the Word of God. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings life. And if you're saved here today, it's because of that very reason. John chapter 5. Look back in chapter 5 of John and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How? By simply hearing his word and believing his word. And his word brings life. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Just remember, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It helps you with those four books, getting those straight. Those are the four Christians sometimes have trouble finding in the New Testament. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, if you, speaking, did anybody bring snacks for today? Okay, good. Philippians chapter 2. I think I'm smelling popcorn right now. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. Now that's the kind of the motto for our church right there. Say why? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That right there. That's the church's job to do what? Hold forth the word of life. Why? We want others to have life. And the only way that can happen is if we're willing to hold it forth. To put it out there where others can get it. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That's rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What's the Bible called? It's called the word of life. See? God gives life through his words. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How'd you get saved? How were you quickened? How were you made alive? By the word of God. The word of God gives life. Would you say then that that's a pretty important thing? How many of you are pro-life? You're not pro-life if you're not pro-Bible. If this is where life comes from, you need to be pro-Bible. It's the only way to be pro-life. Look back in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. The word of God is also given for our learning. Now we already looked at the scripture there in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and for correction and instruction in righteousness. So it's for our learning. We're supposed to learn things from the Bible. Look in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. See? So God gave us this book because He wants us, now get it, this is a deep one. Hold on to your seat. Don't get too excited. But God gave us His words because He wants us to learn them.
Amen.
Got it?
Yep.
Amen. Well, if a Christian knows that, then what should a Christian be spending their time doing? Learning the Word of God. Amen. Now, I find it amazing when you can run across a Christian that's been saved for 5 or 10 years... and doesn't know enough Bible to teach a daily vacation Bible school class. That's sad. But like I said, those are the ones, they'll know what all the channels are. They'll know the sports stats of their favorite teams. They'll know what's a good sale at the supermarket. Come on now. Right? They know a lot of things. But all of a sudden when it comes to the Bible, well, that's just too hard to know. No, it's not too hard to know if you want to know it. If you want to know it, and God wants you to know it, God does not want you to be ignorant to His words. All right? So the Word of God gives some things. It gives light and understanding. It gives discernment. It gives truth. It gives cleansing. It gives growth. It gives knowledge and wisdom. It gives protection from deception. Let's look at those things back in Psalm 119. The Word of God gives light and understanding. Psalm 119, verse 105. The longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible. That ought to give you some idea of what God thinks about His Bible.
Amen.
He made sure that the longest chapter was about what? About the Bible. Amen. Do you know how many verses are in Psalm 119? I mean, it is the longest chapter. Do you know how many are in it? 176. That's a lot. That's 16 times 11. Verse 105, Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God will give light to you through the word of God. Look in verse 130. Verse 130, we have this on our welcome mat out at our entrance to our church. I think that's rather appropriate. The entrance of thy words, you got it? Verse 130? The entrance of thy words giveth light. When you allow God's word to enter into you so that it can do a work, God's words will give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, the idea isn't, I'm too simple, I'm not learned, I can't learn the Bible, I'm not smart enough. No. The idea is, I am willing to receive God's Word in and allow God to show me what He wants me to know, allow God's Word to give me the light that I need to know what God wants me to know. Now, is God going to show every single one of you the same stuff? Of course not, because it's a living book and you're an individual, but God is able to take His words to give you the light that you need for your understanding of what God has for your life. Right? Okay, look over there with me, please, in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, after Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, you'll come to the prophet Isaiah. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 in verse 20. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. How does the light get in you? By you receiving it. After you receive it, then you're supposed to speak it and put that same light in others. You do agree that this world is in darkness and that they need light. Well, where are they going to get it from? From you? Or are they going to get it from God's words that are in you? You know why God wants to put His words in you? So then you can put them in somebody else. Amen? You know why I'm able to teach this Bible study to you? Because there was a time when I allowed it to get into me. And if I wasn't willing to do that, how could I then get it into you? You with me? That's pretty simple to understand, right? I mean, it's kind of like, you know how them mama eagles, they'll regurgitate into their little eaglets and the little chicks, how birds will take that stuff and, you know, regurgitate it back. They'll take it and they'll eat it and then they'll kind of digest it a little bit and make it a little easier for the little chicks to swallow, and then they'll come to, beep, 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 you know, in their nest, and they come down and just give them each, you know, a little bit, and that's what we're supposed to do. You take it in and then you're supposed to give some to somebody else. Not just keep it all to yourself. Let me ask you something. Are you a sheep? You know what's peculiar about sheep and clean animals? They have a different walk and they chew the cud. All of them. See, what you receive, you're supposed to take it back up and chew on it some more later. And then take it back up and chew on it again. If you're sheep. If you're a goat, all you're going to do is but. Well, I know the Bible says that, but that's what a goat does. All right, we're having a good time now, I can tell. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We looked at the verse before, but let's look at something else in this verse here, 2 Peter chapter 1. It's about God giving light, giving understanding. Verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What is the Bible supposed to be doing? It's supposed to be a light shining in a dark place until when? The day dawn. That's a reference to the return of Jesus Christ. And until then, it's the Word of God that's doing the work. It's the Word of God that's being a light to this world that's left in darkness. And the Word of God is given to give light. It's given to give understanding. It's given to give understanding. It's given to give discernment. Discernment. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, does anybody know what discernment means? Mm-hmm. A close kin word to it would be discriminate. Now, there's nothing wrong with discriminating. You do it all the time. I hope. When you come to the traffic light, do you discriminate whether it's green or red? I sure hope you do. Or there's going to be a lot of hurt people around real soon. Discriminating is just telling the difference between things. Do you know what's right and what's wrong? Do you know what's good and what's evil? Do you know what pleases God and what doesn't please God? The only way you can know those things is if you have discernment. Discernment is the ability to look and tell the difference between things. Now, that's a bad word, you understand, in the day and age that we live in, discernment. Discernment means that you should be able to tell the difference between men and women.
Amen. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
See? We're living in a day and age where, well, no, there's not supposed to be any difference. Yeah, that's where we're come to, see? And they don't like differences. And when you show the difference, oh, you can't say that. You can't be so absolute and dogmatic on that. You can see, but they can. But they can be absolute that you can't be absolute. Yeah, it's just, you know, they're just hypocrites, all of them. That's all it is. You need discernment. You need to know what's the difference between up and down and black and white and red and yellow and all the others. Look here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick. All right, we've gone over this before. If you want to write it down again until we get it, what does quick mean? It's alive. The Word of God's alive. It's alive. You know, well, it is. It's alive. Boom, 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 boom. It is. How else could it bring life? Can something dead bring life? It must be alive. Brought life to me. It must be alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut deeper into somebody's heart than anything else. The Word of God can. Piercing. There it is. It's piercing. It's getting way down in there. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the Bible will do? The Bible will not only tell you what you're doing is right or wrong. It will discern in your heart to let you know why you're doing what you're doing. Amen. What is your motive? See? What's going on back in that heart of yours making you have those feelings or those thoughts in the first place. That's where the Bible's at. It gets way down in there. See, the rest of them, they can't do that. The Word of God can. It's alive, and it's able to get way down in there and discern. You need that. You want that. See, that's going to help you. When you can discern what's going on in your own heart, then you can ask God to keep your heart where it needs to be with Him. Because your relationship with the Lord is based on your heart. Did I say something that confused you? That's your relationship is based, it's a heart relationship with the Lord. The Lord's not as much interested in all the superfluous outward stuff. He's interested in the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. That's where He's looking. He found David. He said, there's a man after my own heart. That's what He's looking for. Looking for the heart. David said, I love the Lord. Show me one other man in the Old Testament that said that before David. God knew it. You know, God knows if you really love Him or not. He knows everything. Just by His Word, He can show that stuff to you. Bring that stuff out. Amen. That's good. Thank God we have the Word of God to do that. And it'll give you discernment. As God's able to discern you, and you allow God to discern you, God will give you the ability to discern other things. Look in verse 12 of chapter 5, Hebrews 5. Verse 12 says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Well, that's natural, isn't it? You start out as a babe, but then you're supposed to grow. When you're first born, all you have is milk. As you grow, you're able to start taking a little meat. And when you become an adult, you should want meat. Amen. And as you grow in your Christian life, milk is good for a while. But after that, you ought to want some meat. The problem in a lot of churches is all they're ever getting is milk. And so what's the result? You have a bunch of babies. A bunch of carnal, worldly Christians, because they've never been fed. They've been starved. They have no spiritual power or strength, because it can only come from the Word of God. It doesn't matter how nice the pastor is, or in my case, how mean he is. It has nothing to do with it. What's important is whether or not you're receiving God's words, because that's your spiritual diet that's going to strengthen you and help you to grow and give you discernment. Look in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use are using the Bible. That's the context. The reason of use, the use is the Bible. Are you using it? Are you using it to discern things? By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The more you're in the Bible, the more you grow, the more ability the Bible will give you to be able to tell if something's good or if something's evil. To tell if something's right or if something's wrong. Because you won't just look at the outward, you'll look at the motive, you'll look at where it leads to, you'll start to think and look at things the way that God does and become more godly. And God's desire is to do that through His Word in our lives. All right, look at one more back there in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, and then we'll go ahead and take a break. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Okay, no wonder I couldn't find it. I'm in 2 Kings. I did say 1 Kings, didn't I?
Good. Uh-huh.
All right, 1 Kings chapter number 3, and look there in verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. See, as the Word of God gets into your heart, you'll be able to understand. For what purpose? That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. I think that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. But if you want it, do your part. Say, what do you mean, do my part? Be in the Bible. And the more you're in the Bible, the more understanding and the discernment God can give you from His Word. That's why He gave it to us. Right? Let's go ahead and we'll take a break there, and we'll pick it up after in about 10 minutes. All right, Brother Richie, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the food that we're about to receive.